Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. If you'd like to learn more on how to communicate directly with plants, visit www.learnplantlanguage.com to register for the free workshop. That's www.learnplantlanguage.com. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I'm excited to introduce our next guest to the show today. Robin Rose Bennett is an incredible herbalist, storyteller, and writer. She's been offering classes in Wise Woman Healing Ways since 1986, and she's on the faculty of the New York Open Center and the Arborvitae School of Traditional Herbalism. Robin Rose shares herbal medicine with gratitude for the loving generosity of the plants and the magic, mystery, and beauty of the web of life. Robin Rose is also the author of two meditations and the amazing books, Healing Magic, The Gift of Healing Herbs, and most recently, A Green Witch's Pocketbook of Wisdom, Big Little Life Tips. So Robin Rose, so great to see you. So great to have you join us today.
Thank you, Sarah Artemisia. I am delighted to be talking with you.
It's just so great to see you again. And one of the things we were just chatting about is how there's a song or a chant that you are feeling inspired by in this moment. I was curious if you'd be open to sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's set our sacred space over the magic of the technological portal that allows us not only for you and I to be together, but to spread our wings wide and embrace such a large, large audience of listeners. So setting our space, calling to that which is ourselves writ large and to that which is always present, but I like to call to the elements because it reminds us of these eternal and eternally present relationships that we are part of. So very simply, a little chant I wrote. Earth, air, fire, and water, we're your sons and daughters. Below, above, and the center, Mother Nature, you're our mentor. From below and from above, infuse us through and through with love. Help us walk in joy the whole day through in sacred harmony with you. Blessed be.
That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure. I say some version of that every single morning, a little bit after I wake up, almost always outdoors.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, and it really brings to mind for me the power of connecting in with these nuggets of presence, nuggets of wisdom. And certainly that can come through song. It can come through writing. And I love when you shared that you were going to be writing this book, this pocketbook of wisdom. And I was curious to hear a bit more about that. Really, what inspired you to write a pocket-sized book of wisdom for green witches?
Well, first of all, it is not just for green witches. That is a big part of the inspiration. Just simply that it's written by one. But my hope with this book is that it is really cross kind of cultural and different belief systems. It can speak to anyone. It's like basically it's written for humans. It's written for humans of any age and any who ascribe to any, whatever their philosophy is, this has something for everyone. And my hope is that what I did essentially, and it took me a number of years to write. I think I started, maybe it was 6-7 years ago. I'm not a fast writer. I'm a good writer, but I'm not a fast writer. And what I did was I essentially wrote out the teachings that have most profoundly helped me and that continue to most profoundly help me. And it's really not a book just to read, although it can be whatever anyone wants it to be, right? But it really is a book of questions and things to practice. So these are practices, like when my 19-year-old niece said, oh, I would carry that around with me everywhere I went. I was like, okay, because she is not a witch. She is not spiritually oriented, you know, particularly at this point in her life, right? But of course, she loves her wacky auntie, so that's part of it. But the idea of a pocketbook is that I love to have a different pocketbook near my bed that I open every day and just ask for a message, which it was only last year that I learned there was a word for that, the word of bibliomancy. I had no idea. I love that. I love carefully chosen words almost as much as I love silence. I really do love both. And you have to be able to kind of draw upon silence to be able to write, in my opinion, right? To be able to hear and listen what wants to come through. So really, I wanted to share the practices that have helped me come to live in rich, juicy joy, because I want this for everyone. So those were some of my inspirations, and I share teachings from such a variety of teachers and places, some who I had personal interactions with, some who I read, you know, all of it. So it's an amalgamation, a little bit Green Witch, a little bit Zen, a little bit this and that, right? But all earth wisdom, yeah.
Well, that is incredibly powerful, what you were just sharing there, specifically that you have to be able to draw upon silence to write, to be able to listen to what really wants to come through. That is so powerful and incredibly inspiring. Mm. And it feels really connected to one of the wisdoms, one of the practices that you shared, which I was curious if we could explore together. Love to just hear a bit more about it.
Sure.
So this one seems super connected to what you were just saying. So this wisdom in the book you shared is called Practice Presence. Entering fully into any moment as it is will set you free. Paradoxically, it takes time and practice to learn how to be here now. Witness how entangled you feel when you wish the moment were different than it is. And when you say, I'm getting there, try this instead. I'm getting here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you loved that one and that it spoke to you. And knowing you as I do, it doesn't surprise me, because you are really devoted to being present, to hear the plants and, you know, and the stones and the mountains and the rivers and so forth, and the people, right? But yeah, isn't it? It's so wild that we need to practice learning how to become here. And, you know, it's not, I mean, in the time we're in, it's almost like you can't even do stand-up comedy about it. It's so exaggerated in our cultures, the distraction, the, you know, the seduction of distraction. It's so exaggerated, you almost can't even, you know, do comedy about it. It's just comedic if you're feeling in a lighthearted mood, right? But that's the challenge, is how do we, you have to have an intention to be present. Otherwise, you're going to be pulled by everything. You're going to be pulled by this communication and this ding and that buzz and that notification and that, oh, it's wild. And you can't really be fully alive, in a sense, if you don't know how to be where you are when you're there. So I want to actually share something from someone else's book about this that's been very moving to me lately. There's an artist named Frederick Frank, who 50 years ago, it's literally just the 50th anniversary of a seminal book he wrote called The Zen of Seeing. The Zen of Seeing. Seeing, drawing as meditation. And one of the things he wrote, I'm rereading this book right now, or actually, to be honest, I feel like I'm reading it for the first time. Frederick writes, and he handwrote this book as well and sketched in it. He's talking about the first time he taught his workshop on the Zen of Seeing. And he says, one of the students says, "I am a widow and live alone, and I often feel lonely. Today I learned that if you really see the things around you, you're not lonely anymore. I may never be any good at it, but I will go on drawing." And because what he had them do was not try to make art and not try to be creative. And he had prepared all his notes because he had never taught a class before. And then he threw them out and he said, "Let's go outside. And I want you to look at the first thing that catches your eye. And don't look away from it. Let your hand move on the page." So then what he says, I just wanted to have that lead in to this, which ties directly to what we're talking about. He wrote, "In this 20th century, to stop rushing around, to sit quietly on the grass, to switch off the world and come back to the earth, to allow the eye to see a willow, a bush, a cloud, a leaf, is an unforgettable experience." Right? And so what to me this is saying that the mundane is so full of magic if we can stop and see, not look at, but see. And if we can stop and hear, not just listen, but hear, right? So we want to wake up our senses because we humans are meant to be like the other animals, sensate beings, right? So yeah. So we want to wake up because it's more fun. It's juicy, it's richer. And when we have it, gives us that juice, we can then help transform society, which is absolutely where we're at. It's a now or never moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love what you were just sharing there about how the mundane is so full of magic if we stop and see. And this actually reminds me of another one of the wisdoms in your book called Opening to Magic, which is, as you open yourself to seek and discover the magic of life, you'll find it is everywhere. You'll become a magnet for helpful synchronicity. Magic will find you.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
I love that.
I will believe, but you checking with you, that you have experienced this time and time and time again.
Absolutely.
Right? And I have experienced it. There's nothing in the pocketbook of wisdom that I haven't experienced, right? That's why they're in there, because they have withstood the test of time and proven themselves to me to be truths that have made my life more expansive, right? And made my heart open more. So magic. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, reality is the most magical thing there is.
Absolutely. And I love, you know, there's a, can't remember if it was a quote or a teaching from the Buddha that I heard once, how he said, if you look deeply, something to the effect of, if you look deeply into one flower long enough, you will understand the whole nature of reality. And to me, that is magic. That is the plant path. It really, really is.
That is the plant path. And then we can observe more the quote unquote everyday magic of how does this plant have the energy to grow down and up at the same time, right? To put down roots and to rise up. And then to take nourishment from the sun and flower and bear fruit and set seeds. Again, to see that the transformation of energy into matter at birth and matter back to energy at death is a mind-altering, you know, mind-boggling, mind-altering mirror for us of the true magic of reality. And the import of this as well is, again, for us to become co-creators, right? Co-creators, and that we can shift how things are what's prioritized in our communities, in our local governments, in our big picture. Everybody's got their own part to play, right? But we can't just sit back and let all of this beauty and living sentient world of ours be taken, be destroyed. It's not an option. It's not an option. And so when we tune in, we get given the juice to become who we really fully are. And then what's ours to do grows out of that. It's like the exhale that follows the inhale. Some people, and not everybody's meant to do the same things, you know. Some people are meant to take their plant magic and go into local government. And some people are meant to paint. And some people are meant to teach children or have a family. And that's their offering into the world. But until we each have a sense of our part to play in this evolutionary moment, we will feel incomplete and we will feel frustrated, because it's just part of the essence of who we are, is that we need to feel our belonging to the world. And that's the other great gift the plants have given you and me and so many others, is a sense, and for me it really was the first time, a sense of belonging here.
Absolutely. That has been such a huge, I mean, that is, well, there's so many reasons I love the plants, but that is such a huge one. This experience of helping us come back to a sense of belonging in this world. The plants have been monumentally huge for me in that journey. And what you were just sharing there, it reminds me of, well, it feels so linked to a couple other wisdoms that I'd love to explore here together. The first is called Plants Know Who They Are, which this to me speaks so directly to exactly what you were talking about this, the value and the need and the gigantic invitation for us to accept, love, embrace who are we fully, and to recognize that this is unique. And so this passage, the plants know who they are, it goes, "I've never met a daisy who wished she smelled like lavender, or an oak tree who felt inferior for not being as flexible as willow. When you ingest, imbibe, inhale, or sit in meditation with any plant with respect and gratitude, that plant will help you center in the truth of your own being. Plants will help you know who you are too."
Yeah. 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 I mean, I know you could talk about that every bit as well as I can, right? And until you experience it, it's kind of hard to explain. But what I'd really love for anyone listening to this, for whom perhaps this is like newer, is to realize this is not just me and Sarah. This is something that happens to our students over and over and over again. Sometimes even to the ones whose minds are not open to this idea, right? Who just want to know what to take for their headache. Sometimes they're the ones who get the most magical kind of revelations about plant sentience, right? People still, I know, mainstream, right, think it's a little nutty, right? I've had people laugh at me. "You listen to plants, like, what kind of, really? Like, okay, I don't buy that." And I think we've lost something so valuable there, right? Because our kin, there are elders. I'm sure you've talked about this on your podcast, right? There are elders. They have teachings for us and healings for us. But yeah, that one about to know, there's Shakespeare, right? "No, to thine own self be true." Well, how do you be true to yourself if you don't know who you are? And again, in compassion, we can see that we, most of us, have not been encouraged to be who we are. We've been encouraged to fit in. We've been not to belong, but to fit in. Different, very, very different, right? To fit in is to mold yourself to be acceptable. And this turns us inside out and upside down, and it makes us unable to even know the truth for ourselves. So Yeah, to become who you are is the ultimate liberation. It really is. We definitely have to be compassionate to ourselves and one another, that it's a journey, just like learning how to be present. It's a journey, these things that in a saner society would not be so hard to access. They would be things we'd been learning since we were born. But we have been, most of us, again, you know, there's not one truth for everyone, but most of us have had been taught, you know, the important thing is to find what will have you be secure. The important thing, what will have you be safe, and so on and so forth. And these are not the same as find out who you are so you can walk in the world in authenticity and integrity, right? It's a rare family or community that is putting that message out, right? However, it's also important, I think, Sarah, that we don't keep affirming that, and we acknowledge that things are shifting, that every little thing we do and every big thing we do, right, is shifting the culture, right? It truly is. And it's hard to see that we're birthing a new way of being in the world when we're in this incredibly difficult, despair-inducing time of so much crumbling and so much destruction, which one of my dears said to me, destruction is destructuring, and there isn't a way to build the world of compassion and connection and power without the destructuring of the systems we have set up, which are the total opposite of that, right? If I have power, it means you don't. If I have abundance and prosperity, it means you don't. It's all of these lies that put us in the place of comparison. Going back to that wisdom that you shared, one of the ways we suffer so much is by sitting in comparison. And I should be more like so-and-so, or I'm not good enough because of blah, blah, blah. And for me, it's been a journey. You know, I'm moving into my eldering years, right? And I've been on my path now for a few decades. And it's really been a beautiful journey of learning to go from being intimidated by others who I admire to being inspired by. And I'm not standing on any pedestal. There's nothing in the Greenwich Pocketbook of Wisdom that I'm not still practicing and still learning, always, 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 just to different places on the spiral. And it really is lovely to be able to see, as you can, even though you're not, what are you, like 25 years younger than me, right? That the places that you have transformed through kindness and compassion and earth connection, right? Through self-loving practices. Because the self-berating practices don't help us transform. They just make us shrink more and more. And they're a drag. They're a drag, you know? It's like, that's just not, it's not helpful.
Yeah, and it really feels so connected to what you were sharing earlier about the difference between fitting in and belonging. And also what you were sharing even way earlier than that about how there is this invitation, we're really being called to become co-creators, and that everyone has their own part to play. To thine own self be true. It's so true. It's so important. And this reminds me of another one of the wisdoms that you shared, the heed your dreams. So important. So this one, the heed your dreams, says, learn the uniquely personal symbolic language of your dreams. The same symbols and metaphors will likely show up in your meditations too. Listen to your inner guidance. It will help you create a more deeply satisfying life.
Oh, I really appreciate hearing you share them and knowing that they've touched you and are thought-provoking for you. That means a lot to me. And I opened my copy of the book just to see which illustration goes with that one. And it's a beautiful kind of Buddha-esque or Tara-esque face with a spray of rosemary or lavender. Oh, lavender, right around one, curved around one cheek, right? So that calming kind of that turning inward. And I also just opened my book to something as you're reading, just to see if what matched up. And I opened to all creation begins in the imagination. We're all dreaming this world into being consciously and unconsciously. Let's imagine the most beautiful possible present and work together to make it so. And this ties so into the heed your dreams, because there is, yes, the personal level of your dreams, your meditations. How does your inner wisdom speak to you? That's a really helpful thing, everyone, to learn. How does your inner wisdom speak to you or reveal itself to you? Or is it a feeling for you? Or is it, right, everybody's different. Not everyone meditates and sees things. But if we can envision the transformations we want to have happen in ourselves and in the world, then they are possible. If we cannot imagine them, or if we fall into a place, and we can fall into any place. The thing is, we don't want to stay there. But if you are stuck in a place of cynicism, not skepticism, but cynicism and jadedness, where it's too late, we've messed it all up, we can't, you know, we can't possibly turn things around or whatever, you know, if you're there, then you can't, then you're right, then we can't. So the people, those of us listening, us speaking, and those of us listening who can hold the vision of the possible, it is a responsibility at this point. It is a true, deep responsibility to hold your vision, share your vision, put it out in the world in whatever way you do of the possibility of healing, because it is, as long as we are breathing, we are co-creating with every thought, right? And just as a really practical example of something going on right here in my town, we have been working to stop, those of us who care about the health of life and water and animals and birds and people, we have been working very hard for a few years now to stop a super destructive fossil fuel plant project right here in my town, a second away from a water supply for millions of people, literally the whole nine yards. Anyway, it's just been disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment, and just, you know, going, no, we're going to do this. We think it's a great idea. And the town council, yeah, no, we think it's a great idea. And blah, 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 blah. And a lot of work, a lot of marches, a lot of town council and county council meetings. And then they went ahead and started construction. At that point, many people said, all right, it's over. I said, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not over. Not on our watch. Not on our watch. Well, he said, yeah, but it's already under construction. I said, it's not over till it's over, right? Well, this week, and my magic around it, right, was that I shared with the people who I knew could do visualization and would be comfortable not just holding up a protest sign, but also doing inner work and magic. But to net it down, it was an image of a stamp pad coming down by the governor going, permit denied, project canceled. Permit denied, project canceled. Permit denied, project canceled. Well, just this week, Sarah, just this week, they're well into construction. The permit was declared illegal. The permit was declared illegal. They are required to halt. It's not over yet. We haven't stopped them for good yet, right? But many, many believed it was too late for this to happen, right? They passed all the hurdles. They got all the approvals. They got all the environmental exemptions. And I don't know about how everybody else does their work, but for me, it's calling on the land itself, the water, the animals, it's calling on the land itself to help us be a voice for protecting this, everything that supports us and everything that we love. So I'm really, really, really happy about this. And there's also going to be a huge march. I know this will be airing after it, but there's also a huge march in New York City in a few days with people coming from all over just to stand up and say, it's the end of fossil fuel extraction. We can't keep taking, right? So, and it all comes back to earth connection, to being who you are, like the willows, the willow, and the oaks, the oak. And that is empowering. And we need empowered people of all stripes and in all walks of life. We need people who believe that in themselves and each other, and that we can make a difference. And that we can do it with joy. See, that's one of my big things is that if we're just so angry all the time and miserable all the time about all the things that it's really easy to be angry and miserable about, it's not a very magnetic energy to attract to, right? I mean, it is magnetic, it's contagious, right? But it's not magnetic in the way we want it to be. Whereas joy is magnetic in the way we want it to be. Gives people energy to stand up and do things outside of your immediate sphere, right? Because if you feel terrible, it's hard to think beyond your own immediate need. So I want people to feel wonderful. And these are practices that have helped me learn how to feel wonderful.
Well, congratulations on that project. That's incredible. That's absolutely amazing.
Yes, yes, it is. And I'm so grateful. I am just so, so, so grateful.
Yeah. And when you were talking about it, the birds were really vocal behind you. It felt like this message of, yeah, be co-creator, work with us, work with the earth on this. We're all here together, you know?
Everything in nature is conspiring to be a help to us. It's totally true. It's totally true. You know, I did open to One Wisdom right before the show, right before the podcast, just to see what's the message for Sarah's audience. What, you know, and it's like 150 pages or so, this little 4x6 book. So I think it's fun. What it opened to is a picture of a woman who's like a parsnip root. She's really beautiful. My artist for this book is exceptional, Gail Stoughton, and I feel very lucky that she agreed to do this book with me. And the wisdom that I opened to share with you, because I didn't know you were going to read all your own, which is so thrilling for me. But what I opened to share with everyone is, it's kind of where you started. The best way to get where you want to go is to practice being present where you are. The plants are our best teachers of this. Deep-rooted plants offer a clear mirror of rooting to rise, of growing ourselves from a place of presence. So we can eat a parsnip and enjoy it, and we can eat a parsnip and know we're taking in rooting energy. Right?
Yeah, beautiful. And so full circle to come back to the presence yep. piece. Thank you, Robin Rose. So wonderful. Yeah, so tell us, how can people find out about you, your work, your book?
Okay, so I have, my website is robinrosebennett.com, and I also have a brand new website, robinrosebennettbooks.com. And I would love for people to both sign up for my newsletter is the best way to kind of find out what's going on. But right now, the most important thing I have to share is that I created a beautiful, beautiful booklet that I want to give away to anyone who pre-orders the book, the new pocketbook, because it's so helpful when people pre-order. And there's only 1 month in which to do this, the month of October, from the first to the official launch date of October 31. And the giveaway is a booklet entitled Herbal Recipes for Meditation, Dreams, and Deepening Intuitive Wisdom. And I created it just for this. And really, it's pretty lovely. So I hope people will take advantage of that. And then just go to the site and you'll see there's some other things about, like, if you write a review for me, which would be so appreciated, a review of the new book. I mean, I'd appreciate reviews of any of the books. But if you write a review of the new book and tag me on Instagram, you will automatically get entered into a contest to win a tarot reading with me. that I will be choosing the winner on my birthday, which is November 26th. So you have a little more time about the reviews, but the booklet will be available for the month of October.
So wonderful. And tell us, what's your Instagram handle so people know where to tag you?
Okay, it's at Robin Rose Bennett. And will you have this written out in the show notes? Yeah, but I'll say it once. RobinRoseBennett. Come play, come learn, come visit, come grow.
So great. Yes, and all this will, of course, be in the show notes as well. So you can just click on any of the links there. And such a joy to connect. Thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your wisdom, your love, your connection with the plants. It is such a joy as always. And appreciate you and your work in the world. Thanks, Robin Rose.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much too. And just am feeling like that rose heart connection with you right now. And let's just take a moment together and just share it with everyone who is listening live or later. Little rose magic your way. Heart opening and also protective thorns when and if you need them. Green blessings.
And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.